Hey, everybody. A very special grassroots candidate from Florida, Laverne, joins us. And also Dr. Naomi Wolf talks about fertility rates. Why are they going down? Well, maybe Pfizer has something to do with that. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. And get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. So this is just the perfect guest to have on of exactly why the Republican establishment does not want to have a overwhelming red wave. Because, look, what ends up happening is you get candidates that you can't control that actually represent their voters, that aren't in that kind of boring, vanilla, corporate cutout mold. So I'm going to start with her advertisement, then we'll join her, then she'll join this program. Play cut 96.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Hi, I'm Laverne Spicer, and I'm running for Congress right here in South Florida. America was founded on we the people being in charge of our own destinies, not big government. Joe Biden said, Black folks don't know how to use the internet. Well, this is my phone. It's connected to the internet. He should read my Twitter feed. And I got plenty to say about him. He even had the nerve to say that if black people didn't vote for him, they weren't black enough. I didn't vote for you, Joe Biden, last time I checked. And I'm still here as black as I've ever been. Have a seat on that one.
Laverne Spicer is here. This is why the Republican establishment is like, I don't know if we want to win. Well, I want Laverne to win, and I want people like her to win. Laverne, welcome to the program. How are you?
I am feeling very well, and thank you, Charlie, for that warm welcome.
Well, I just love your background. I love why you're running. Tell our audience, what is your background? Why are you running? Tell us about yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm running because 22 years ago, I started a food bank in my community, and we provide food for several thousand families each and every month. That's the senior community that make less than $200 a month, $5 on food stamps. That's the veterans that are staying in the street because they don't have a place to go. We give them hot food and also box food that they can take home to cook. We have those people that are homeless, that have been left behind, that have been destroyed because of these failed policies of the Democrats. We are here to keep them afloat and to show them love and to restore their dignity in life. So after doing this for so many years, I heard President Trump say, why don't you take your community back? Because they're not helping you anyway. So that just rung a bell for me. And I was like, you know, he's right. It's time to go to the next level of fighting for these people and show them how to fight for themselves. Because the black community is tired of being sick and tired. We're tired of the Democrats' lies. They only use us for the votes. They come out and get these old people these dinners of fish and salmon. And then once they vote for them, you know, they don't help us. And that's why these communities are failing. You show me a Democratic district and I'll show you a district that they have been, that they have totally failed from their policies.
So you say on your website, and the website is Laverne2022.com, Democrats only judge me by the color of my skin, but I'm much more than just a black woman. Explain.
Yes, I'm much more than that. I am a fighter. And I will continue fighting for this country and fighting for what I believe in. And speaking of racist attacks, I get those all day long, every day in my inbox. For some reason, they believe that when Hitler died, he was reincarnated and came back as Biden. And they tell me that he's going to come down and smack me back to the Democratic plantation that I belong on. And I know that's a lie. And they cannot silence me. And the Democrats want to tell the us how we what we supposed to feel, what we supposed to say, and how we supposed to act. And I refuse. They would not silence me. I would not be quiet. I will continue fighting.
Yeah, and so Laverne, let's explain that a little bit more. I mean, some of the most racist people in America are white liberals towards black conservatives. Isn't that right?
The racist people in America are those liberals that are in my inbox calling me Auntie Tom, all kind of nigger words, the Sambo, and everything else. Those are the ones that are very, very racist. Sending me all the little ugly pictures of black folks hanging and everything else, trying to scare me and telling me to come back where I belong. I know where I belong, and I'm on the right side as a fighting voice for the conservative party, and they would not silence me.
You're running on term limits, immigration, 10-page limit on bills, the Second Amendment. Talk about some of the issues that you are seeing firsthand in Miami and in your district, and what compelled you to run? I mean, running for Congress is a big deal. You just decided one day, I'm going to do this thing.
Yes, I did. I decided because I was tired and sick and tired of seeing people that are hungry, struggling, trying to make it, trying to put food on their kids' table, trying to put clothing on their back and catching hell and from every corner that they turn on. These people are suffering and they need help. So since I was already helping them, I decided to go to the next level of doing that. And that's what I'm fighting for, because I hate what I see taking place in the United States. Right now, gas is at an all-time high. Food is at an all-time high. But we are steady sending our taxpayer dollars to these other countries to take care of them. But we need to be taking care of home first, especially for these people that have worked all their life to be able to pay taxes, and now they can't afford to pay their rent, especially here in Miami. I mean, we have matchback box houses that were selling 20 years ago for $17,000 and $30,000. Now these same 1,500 square foot houses are selling for $400,000 right here in the black community.
That's unbelievable. And so how can people help you? Your primary is on Tuesday, I believe. What does your race look like? What is your path to victory?
Well, my race is looking great. And I am on that path to victory. And I need everybody that can to go to my website. That's Laverne2022.com and donate right now. Because you have a voice, you have someone that's not afraid to fight, somebody that's not afraid to speak up. Follow me on Twitter, look at my videos, and this is something I have been doing. I am a fighter. I'm very passionate.
So if you get to Washington, D.C., are you going to put up with all this nonsense, these 2,000-page bills, all this stuff, Laverne?
Hell no. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm letting y'all know before I get there.
I love it.
It's going to be on.
I love it.
It's going to be on. I would not go for those stupid bills that they are passing that makes absolutely no sense, that we have all those rhinos sitting in Congress right now that are afraid to speak up for the American people. All of y'all need to get the hell up out of there. And I'm telling you right now, so when I get down, be ready, because I'm coming and I'm on my way.
That's what a red wave looks like, everybody.
That's what that red wave looks like, and it's coming through the United States, and it's coming to the black community, it's coming to the brown community, and it's going to hit everybody. We need a new wave of people in those seats that are not afraid and will not be rhinos.
Amen.
Rhinos, y'all got to go. We already started with Liz Cheney, and the rest of y'all, get ready.
Woo! I love it. All right, Laverne2022.com. Laverne, good luck. We're behind you. Thank you so much. And we need more grassroots, real people in D.C. Enough of this corporate, boring stuff. We need actual people to fight. God bless you, Laverne. Laverne2022.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks. You see what I'm talking about? You think that the Republican establishment wants people like Laverne? No, no, no. She'd be hard to control. That's what we want. We want authentic. We want transparent. We want real. We don't need some sort of person that went to Harvard or Yale or whatever. We want people that ran a food bank for 22 years. That's an actual American. As I've said before, there's a massive disconnect between the cartel in D.C. and the regular American people. That's why we love candidates like Laverne. It is the worst nightmare for the establishment because they'll be called out. Oh boy, she would call them out. It's a theme that I keep repeating for a reason here, but we were one of the few programs that said, wait a second, why are we getting involved in this Ukraine thing on the Russian-speaking border of Ukraine? It never made any sense to us. And we called Putin all the appropriate terms, thug, war criminal, evil. It is not right for a strong country to invade a smaller country. It's not right at all. It's evil. The more operative question, though, is not whether or not it was evil. It's what is the response of the United States of America? What does success look like? What does proper intervention look like? What is the latitude and longitude of which we are comfortable, of which saying that we have achieved success? Or are we now getting into a multi-decade quagmire that is now going to be a satellite state of the United States of America? These are questions we asked from the very beginning. And Zelensky is under huge fire right now. Zelensky gave an interview with the Washington Post, where it's the Washington Post article, Zelensky faces massive outpouring criticism over failure to warn of war. So Zelensky was getting classified reports from the top levels of NATO and the top levels of United States intelligence, and effectively said to his people, Russia's not going to invade. Russia's not going to invade. It's just military exercises. Now, the people of Ukraine are very, very angry and upset right now because many of them would have fled or evacuated or would have handled something completely differently. And a question that we've asked before, and I want somebody to come on this program to please tell me clearly the opposite opinion. Before I go any further, do you notice how skittish the pro-Ukrainian people are to ever talk about this? They get very nervous and anxious. They cannot defend this. It's very simple questions. That's how you know you're not in the right. But what is it? Why can't anyone explain to me why Eastern Ukraine could not have held their own elections of what country they want to be part of? Why couldn't the United States of America have come in and said, time out, Putin, you're not invading, and said, we're going to hold elections about the eastern part of Ukraine. And if they want to be part of Russia, then they can be part of Russia. If they want to be part of Ukraine, then part of Ukraine. Allow people to migrate appropriately, and potentially tens of thousands of lives would have been saved. Hundreds of billions of dollars would have been saved. The United States does not have to get entangled into this. And yet we're pouring more money in. Just yesterday, Joe Biden announced another $800 million to Ukraine. I have to ask the question, though. Where is he getting the approval to do this? It's Congress that approves the allocation of foreign military funding. Now, the only answer to that is, well, Congress gave Joe Biden a big bucket and he's dishing it out $800 million to $1 billion at a time. This should be rage-inducing if we had a proper Republican Party. But the Republican Party is so bought by the war industry. They're so bought by this. And even if you're super pro-Zelensky in our audience, and there are some of you out there, and thank you for listening, we just have disagreements about this, I do want somebody to email me and tell me, what does success look like? In life, you cannot embark on anything meaningful if you cannot tell me what success looks like. And do not tell me it's, well, when we defeat the Russians. Then you're going to have to commit 500,000 United States troops, probably 100,000 of them are going to die, risk nuclear war, and spend $500 billion to get Russia back to the border. That's just the new reality. When you deal with foreign policy, it can't be a bunch of wishes. It can't be what you want it to be. I don't like Putin. You don't like Putin. Is that the real important question of whether or not we like somebody? I also don't like the Ayatollah of Iran. I'm not a fan of Kim Jong-un, evil person. Don't like Xi Jinping. There's all sorts of world leaders I'm not fans. I also don't like Angela Merkel. I don't think we should invade Germany. And no, I don't think Angela Merkel's a moral equivalent to those. I'm just talking about more foreign leaders I don't like. I would definitely put the Ayatollah Kim Jong-un and Putin far more in the dustbin of history than Angela Merkel. I just think she's super incompetent. But it's just been so incredibly hard to watch that our early warnings were ignored. We're now $56 billion in the hole. The Republican Party continues to lean in on, we have to keep on supporting Ukraine. We have to keep on supporting Ukraine. No, they're actually not supporting Ukraine. They're supporting this Zelensky government. And it's not like we don't have our own problems here. Our border is completely porous and wide open. Wide open. The territorial sovereignty of Ukraine is met with far more outrage and backlash from the Republican Party. And they're wondering why all of a sudden people aren't super enthused to go vote for Republican senators. Absent J.D. Vance and Blake Masters and Ron Johnson and a couple others, why should you be super enthused? We're about to have Dr. Naomi Wolf on, and Dr. Naomi Wolf is going to talk about some topics that will immediately get us completely pulled from YouTube. In fact, we're already getting emails, people, Charlie, your YouTube feed stopped working. So when we do that, just so everyone knows, if you watch us on YouTube, we're doing it for a reason, because YouTube will kick us off if we start talking about the vaccine or start talking about Pfizer. YouTube has no patience for that. Now you might say, Charlie, why do you still stream on YouTube? We actually reach a lot of potential people we can persuade on YouTube. And so you got to be places, even though they have tough censorship regime standards, to try to convince people, even it drives us nuts. Okay, with us right now is Dr. Naomi Wolf, phenomenal patriot. Dr. Wolf, thank you for joining us. Can you walk us through the latest Pfizer data? It's been a little confusing. It seems like there's some contradictory reports on it. What have we learned recently?
Sure. Thank you. So I do need to make a correction on behalf of one of our volunteers. The report that was issued about 3 days ago by us from Berberine, saying that 44% of a group in the Pfizer documents of pregnant women's pregnancies ended in miscarriage, that is not correct. The author counted several subjects multiple times. So critics who have gone back in have reached different conclusions. For sure, the 44% is not correct in that section. One analyst found 11 abortions, meaning spontaneous abortions, miscarriages out of 58, and another said 16 out of 60. So they're interpreting the same data in different ways. The 44% is not correct in that section. That said, I don't want the correction of Berberine's report to distract people from the fact that there are other places in the Pfizer documents, as well as abundant evidence in VAERS, that there's a signal around miscarriage and spontaneous abortion. And there are multiple other sources for this. One of them is that in Scotland, there's been a 200% rise in neonatal deaths among vaccinated mothers. In Ontario, 86 babies died when usually they have 5 or 6 neonatal deaths after Ontario became highly vaccinated. And in one hospital in Haifa, Rambam Hospital, there was a 34% rise in neonatal deaths among vaccinated versus unvaccinated mothers, as well as spontaneous abortion and miscarriage. And a group of Israeli journalists who happened to be women went through the VARS database and found that there are more neonatal deaths, spontaneous abortions, miscarriages for the mRNA vaccine than for other vaccines that have preceded it in the whole history of VARS. So we're seeing, you know, signals across the board. And the last piece of evidence I'd like to share is that there's another section of the Pfizer documents that shows that 270 women got pregnant, even though pregnant women were excluded from the Pfizer trials. And of those, Pfizer lost over 230 of the outcomes. But of the outcomes that they did track, over 80% of the babies got lost to spontaneous abortion or to miscarriage. So we're seeing a signal across the board, but that 44% is not correct.
What is it about the technology that disrupts fertility? And what does that mean long-term for fertility rates in the West? Because we just went through a massive inoculation campaign.
Yeah, and it's not over yet. You're asking the right question. So what we've seen in the Pfizer documents is both a number of mechanisms that can explain these harms to newborns, but we're also seeing, and this is so massive, it's almost hard to communicate it, but we're seeing in the Pfizer documents a 360-degree attack on human reproduction. Amy Kelly has a new report up that shows that the lipid nanoparticles, which are these kind of hard fatty casings that the mRNA is encased in, it's a kind of an industrial fatty product that crosses every membrane in the human body. She's showing that the lipid nanoparticles and the spike protein and the mRNA accumulate throughout the body, right? And Dr. Robert Chandler also showed that, another one of our volunteers, but that in terms of effects on men, the lipid nanoparticles accumulate in the testes, not just harming sperm count and sperm motility, which is a study that the journal Andrology presented, which we know about, but also additionally harming Sertoli cells and Leydig cells, which are literally the things inside your testes, if you're male, that create human masculinity, right? Not just the health of the sperm, but things like secondary sex characteristics that turn boys into men. And so this is super disturbing when you see that they keep targeting younger and younger boys, younger and younger, you know, down to 6-month-old babies, because there's this impact on the testes. We're seeing that the lipid nanoparticles, you know, pregnant women were told this doesn't cross the placenta. Your baby can't be affected by the vaccine. That's not true. The lipid nanoparticles, as I mentioned, are designed to traverse every membrane in the human body. They were designed to cross the blood-brain barrier for people with brain tumors. But so now what's happening is they're crossing the placenta. And I don't understand how these little particles can cross the placenta without affecting its integrity. But what we do know is that the lipid nanoparticles are in the fetal environment. And also, additionally, you know, I mentioned the baby deaths, neonatal deaths. Igor Chudov on Substack has found a global drop in birth rates. But there are other mechanisms that are harming babies and harming pregnant women. I was deplatformed for noticing over a year ago that women who'd been vaccinated with the mRNA injection were having menstrual dysregulation. Well, I turned out to be right. And many, many studies have proven that women are having horrific menstrual suffering, really, and weirdness, you know, ranging from two periods in a 28-day cycle to periods that last 10 days. The average menstrual cycle has extended by a day. So, you know, it's predictable that there would be fertility harms because you need a healthy menstrual cycle. This is one of the key indicators of a childbearing age woman's health, right? And you need an intact uterine lining, which is what the menstrual cycle is, going back to eighth grade, you know, health class, in order to have the zygote, the fertilized egg, implant correctly. So women are bleeding an average of a day, a month extra, and there's you know, other horrible things that are happening to them, like postmenopausal women are bleeding, and there's numerous cases of vaginal bleeding in the Pfizer documents, in addition to spontaneous abortion and miscarriage. But fast forwarding, in addition to all of those harms to pregnancy and gestation, there are harms to lactation. So the polyethylene glycol, which is a petroleum byproduct, we may have spoken about this last time, it's so mind-blowing, which is in antifreeze and white strips and other like things you don't ingest. That's coating the lipid nanoparticles. So this petroleum product is all throughout the bodies of vaccinated women. The biodistribution that Dr. Chandler showed that it accumulates in, you know, liver, spleen, adrenals, but also accumulates in ovaries, right? But in the lymph and blood make up breast milk. So this polyethylene glycol now is in women's breast milk who are vaccinated with the mRNA vaccine. And an NIH study confirmed that. So in the Pfizer documents, you see nursing babies of vaccinated moms having seizures or and one poor baby was taken to the emergency room. That baby died. And other babies are inconsolable, failure to thrive. They're not growing, and they're crying, and they're ingesting breast milk with a petroleum byproduct in it. And an NIH study belatedly confirmed that there is, in fact, polyethylene glycol in vaccinated women's breast milk. So we don't know. That's a huge experiment on human babies. We don't know if they're ever going to be able to thrive, but we do know that nursing went from 34% of moms during the pandemic to now only 14% of moms. So it's definitely babies are suffering from not having healthy breast milk. And another horrible thing is four of the women in the Pfizer documents, their breast milk turned blue-green. And then lastly, just to throw this out, it's like they're ruining mothers and ruining women and ruining men for that matter, ruining the human species' ability to reproduce itself. But a Huffington Post link was titled something like, you know, is your menstrual cycle normal? And they said, you know, if your blood looks this color, you're fine. If your blood looks this color, you're fine. Then they said, if your menstrual blood is green, you should see a doctor. If your menstrual blood is gray, you should see a doctor. And Charlie, I'm 59 years old and I've cared about women's health my whole 35-year career. I have literally never heard of green or gray menstrual blood. And so something's terribly, terribly wrong with the whole 360-degree human reproductive cycle. I mean, I could go on and on. Pfizer defines exposure to the vaccine in the documents as including sexual intercourse with ejaculation. And they told the men in the trials to not have intercourse with a woman if the men were going to be vaccinated of childbearing age without a condom and another effective contraceptive. And why would they do that, right? And then Pfizer did autopsies of rats after the rats had intercourse, after the female rats had been injected with the mRNA vaccine, the male rats hadn't, and they looked at the reproductive tissues. So why would they do that? And of course, the males hadn't been injected, so there was no problem with reproductive tissues. But clearly, just the way the experiments are being constructed, Pfizer knows that there could be an impact on reproduction, on mammalian reproduction. Wow.
This is a crime, what you're articulating here. It is a crime. Dr. Wolf, how is it possible the CDC and the NIH and these people are still in power? It's hard to believe there's that kind of a disconnect.
Well, I don't think it's a disconnect, Charlie. I was very reluctant to conclude that we're looking at a bioweapon or an attack on the United States, specifically, conclusively, an attack on Americans' ability to reproduce themselves in the next generation. But from what I've seen, and everyone can look for themselves, not take my word for it, look at the more than 30 reports the Pfizer War Room volunteers have posted on dailycloud.io. These are highly credentialed research volunteers. I can't conclude anything else. So China is very much part of the manufacturing and distribution of the mRNA vaccines. And they're our existential adversary, and they've made very clear from their own white papers that they want to be the world superpower. And in part, their means is to weaponize healthcare. If you look at my Substack, Facing the Beast, I provide the evidence for this. But basically, Pfizer's BioNTech, which makes the vaccines, partnered with Fosun Pharmaceutical out of Shanghai, and now it's Fosun Pharma USA with a branch in Massachusetts, Boston, Mass., and a branch in Princeton, New Jersey. They're manufacturing and distributing these very dangerous and deadly mRNA vaccines. So I think America's under attack, basically. And if you look at the breakdown of the 42,000 plus adverse events, like serious problems in the Pfizer documents, it shows that the overwhelming majority took place in the United States. And the second largest group is Western Europe. And all the other 56 nations where this injection was rolled out amount to only 7,000 adverse events. So this looks like a bioweapon that's been deployed on our soil. And it's very stealthy. I mean, in Facing the Beast, there's this study that came out of Hong Kong, overseen by the CCP, that shows that the first injection causes some damage. The second injection causes catastrophic damage, enlarged hearts, white patches on your heart, you know, damage to the liver, cytokine storms. So to me, as a political consultant, this clearly, you know, these multiple boosters, multiple injections look like a very clever way to kill or maim people without fingerprints over time. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a global decline in birth rates. We're
the United States birth rates are way down. The U.S. birth rates are way down. And it was already happening that way. And we have to remember that some of these people have entertained depopulation theories far before this. That is a fact. So, Dr. Wolf, I want to play a piece of tape here from Steve Kirsch, who's been attacked by the media in every direction for saying this on Fox News. Play cut 115.
And I started looking at the data. There was no question that this vaccine is the most dangerous vaccine ever created by man. It is 1,000 times more deadly than the smallpox vaccine, and that's too unsafe for people to use.
That takes a lot of spine to say on cable television. Dr. Wolf, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I fact-checked Steve Kirsch, and people can read my Substack about that. And he's right. I used totally different sources and came up with a number which is millions of injuries in the United States and hundreds of thousands of deaths. And this was based on data from a German insurance company and also government databases showing showing injuries and deaths. So, and projecting outward. So we're in a crisis, and you're right to notice. I mean, I used to think it was a conspiracy theory, right?
Yeah, what does that even mean
but,
anymore? Right.
I think we shouldn't throw that word around. People like Bill and Melinda Gates have talked about reducing population size, solving climate change by, you know, just cutting the population. And one way or another, this injection is sterilizing the next generation.
What can possibly be done about it? We just have to get the word out and tell people. I mean, the problem is there's a lot of people that have regret. Is it too late for them?
I mean, I'm not a medical doctor. I think it's very important to not have boosters, especially if you are a young, healthy person. Well, but at all not have boosters because the Pfizer documents show injections don't work. And Pfizer knew that. Look, I think, you know, I think we need a Nuremberg trial. I think we need
yes,
a
we
full
do.
Investigation. I think people need to go to jail and be held criminally accountable. But honestly, Charlie, I think this crisis is so intense, especially with the barriers to understanding it from the mainstream media. Like I'm being attacked for bringing up these issues. I literally think we're in a situation where, and I'm not, you know, a religious fanatic or proselytizer, but I think we have to pray. You know, in addition to everything else we do, mm-hmm. because this is an existential moment for the
war.
Human race.
I
and
totally agree.
People are trying to, it's like Noah's Ark. I mean, people are trying to wipe us out or reduce our numbers without our consent.
That's right.
So all of that.
It's,
all of the
it's hard to disagree after what we've lived through. Dr. Naomi Wolf, thank you so much. Deeply appreciate
thank
it.
You, thank Charlie. You, Charlie. Thanks for
please
having
buy, me. Please buy her book, Bodies of Others. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.